Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great team over at touringplans.com. You invest a lot of time and money in your upcoming Disney vacations, and you want to make sure that those trips are awesome. And the best way you can do that is to grab a premium subscription to touringplans.com as soon as you think about heading to Disneyland or Walt Disney World. This will give you the tools you need before the trip, including the crowd calendar, so you know the best park to go to each and every day of your vacation. But also, once you're on your trip, you'll have access to things like Lines, which is the mobile application which gives you up-to-the-second wait times. It also has the Optimizer, which lets you select the attractions you are most interested in, and it will give you real-time results so that you can go to the attractions in a certain order for the least amount of wait. This is just a couple of the great tools that you'll have access to, so make your next trip awesome. Drop by touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 856 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday. Hope that you had a great weekend. Got out there and had some fun and got to relax a little bit from the rat race of work. And you know it is. It's Monday, so it's back at it. So make this week great. Do something to switch it up. But we're always glad when you download the show. Hopefully we can give you a little magic of your favorite place to start the week off the right way. And today, we're going to do that because I was just looking at the calendar. We're just about exactly 2 months ahead of the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 3. So in about 3 months, we'll be heading down to Port Canaveral, hopping on the Disney Dream for 5 nights of awesome fun with the Disney Cruise Line. I can't wait to sail with our listeners. It's going to be so much fun. And today we're heading out to sea with another trip report, but we're heading on the Disney Fantasy, the sister ship of the Disney Dream. And joining me today to talk about an excellent Eastern Caribbean cruise from Lombard, Illinois, we have Jeff Grobar. Thanks for joining us, Jeff.
Happy to be here, Mike.
All right. Well, let's talk about this cruise because you and we had a couple listeners over the past maybe 3 or 4 months do these cruises over holidays, and you did the same thing, did you not?
That's right. We took the week of Thanksgiving and got out of town and got to enjoy the Disney Fantasy.
You mean that the greater Chicagoland area isn't beautiful in late November?
No, unfortunately not. Typically, we're freezing a little bit and, getting out into the Caribbean was a nice break for us.
All right, so let's talk about where it started. So you said it, you're going to do a fantasy cruise down there over Thanksgiving. When did the idea pop into your head that this is something you wanted to do?
You know, after listening to the podcast a lot, hearing a lot about all the different cruises and everything, really got the bug. The family had been on one other Disney cruise once before. At that time, it was just 4 of us. This time, it was 5. And for that one, it was just a 3-day cruise, and we felt really rushed, and we never really felt like we got to enjoy anything, and actually came away from it saying, maybe we're not cruise people. But after hearing all the fun that all the different listeners and whatnot have on all the different cruises, said, let's try it again, but let's do it right and really stretch out and take a little bit of extra time and enjoy a long cruise. And so 7 days over Thanksgiving, we've been taking trips for over Thanksgiving week. We're lucky enough that the kids get the whole week off from school, so it's a great time to get away. And so we've been heading down to Disney for the last few years and thought this was a good way to mix things up a little bit and try something new and get our feet wet again.
Cool. Let me ask you this, though, before we dive into like the stateroom and all the, the itinerary and so forth. But you mentioned you did a 3-night cruise and it felt rushed, and I've done a 3-night cruise too. The same way, it feels like as soon as you get acclimated to being on the ship, they're giving you the information for disembarkation and you're getting your luggage, tags to get to the porters and everything, and all of a sudden you're leaving the ship and it's really sad. You did a 7-night cruise this time. Did it feel too long or did it feel just right? What do you think?
No, it was perfect. We got to experience the ship all the way, front to back, left to right. Having the 3 days at sea really meant that we got to slow down and actually feel like we were taking vacation. And then the ports were great as well. And you know, 2 days at sea at first, and then getting off the ship meant that we really felt like we got to know the ship, where with that prior 3 day, you know, like you said, got on and we were on which one was the Wonder for that first cruise, and I couldn't even find my way around, and then boom, we're getting off the ship, and it's crazy.
You start to get used to it. You're like, man, I kind of like this cruising thing. They're like, get off. You know, it's like, come on, I just got used to this. So, all right. So let's, you said you had a family of five, which, you know, typically when you get more than four, sometimes, especially with Disney, you know, Walt Disney World and even on the cruise line, that becomes a challenge because you're trying to find a stateroom that will accommodate, you know, a group larger than four. So how did you go about that?
So thankfully our kids range in age from, at the time, 3 to 10. And so we wound up with one of the family staterooms. And my wife was very concerned about the idea of having a veranda because she doesn't trust my kids. And
I hear you. Hey, man, I'm a parent of a crazy 7-year-old. I hear you. My wife was the same way when Mallory was, you know, 3 or 4.
And so we made the choice to go with the family stateroom that just had the big porthole. And, you know, it gave us a couple extra square feet in the stateroom. And I think that it worked out really well. So, you know, we had two on the pullout bunks, and then one on a pull down, Murphy bed. And we had lots of room and didn't really feel cramped at all. And, you know, it had I think most of the staterooms do now, it had the split bathroom, which made starting up the days in the morning really easy. And, made sure that, again, everybody had plenty of space. It really worked out really well for us.
What's funny with Disney Cruise Line is they have kind of, not a gimmick, but a reason to be in almost every category of the stateroom. So if you stay in the, you know, the inside, you get the virtual porthole, which is very cool. But, you know, and I love those. We've stayed in one. The four of us stayed in for the first podcast cruise. We were in an inside with a virtual porthole. I loved it. But I'm telling you, four of us in 169 square feet for 5 nights, but that was tight. So, and it was, you know, 3 girls and me. So that had to go for this one coming up. But we've also stayed in the same one you're speaking of with the large porthole. Now that's the one. Did you have the one that had the seating?
In the porthole.
Yeah,
the kids were fighting over who could be in there.
I know,
every
time
we were in there.
That's what I was gonna say. You know, it's like every kind of stateroom. The veranda is obviously cool to have, but I mean the porthole with the seating. Mallory and Paige and even myself, like, it's almost kind of like a mini couch. But right there, I mean, you're looking out with the most outstanding view ever. We love that.
Oh, yeah.
That stateroom.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good place to sit and read or just watch the water go by, or especially as we were going into port, it was a great view of seeing where we were going before we were there. And like I said, everybody was kind of jostling for who could be in there and who got the best seat in there. And yeah, it was nice.
We did the same thing. So now, real quick, before we move off of the stateroom, where in the ship was it located? Did you find it a good place? Did you wish you would have had somewhere else?
You know what? No, we were on deck 8, and we were in the on the left-hand side. So I'm not sure if that's port or starboard. I am a land lover. Have no idea. But more towards the aft. And no, I mean, it wound up feeling like home. You know, once we got all unpacked and everything, it was our space, and quite honestly, if we were to go on another, or when we go on another cruise, I'd probably ask to stay in the exact same room again.
Sounds good. You know, and port is left, just so you know, when you're facing the front of the ship, port's left. Okay. The way I remember that is because left has 4 letters and so does port. That's my little way to remember. And starboard, you know, has a bunch of letters, and right has 5, you know, whatever. Use it if you want. Port has 4 and so does left. Anyway, so let's talk about the itinerary, because we don't get a lot of folks on that do the Eastern. The Western seems to be very popular. And I've done the Western Caribbean run on Royal and actually a couple other cruises. I've been on the Western 3 different times and enjoy like the Cozumel, Grand Cayman, you know, run and so forth. But Eastern, like you said, it has more sea days, but it also has what I consider more exotic or less traveled ports. So talk to us about your, you know, what you did, you know, as far as the destinations on this cruise.
Sure. Our first stop was in St. Martin. So that was, like I said, after 2 days at sea. So that was as far away as we were going to be. And we had planned ahead of time to plan to wing it, as it were. So some coworkers had said that, you know, they'd gone there and really enjoyed it, and they just rented scooters and went all over the island, and that it was an easy place to get around because it's just not that big. So we kind of had, as we were getting off the ship, we saw that there were some folks that were renting cars and Jeeps and stuff. So we went over and checked out the prices for that and wound up renting a Jeep.
Nice. From a Jeep owner. Yeah, that's always fun. I do that every single day to drive to work. it's like my mini excursion. It's not as fun in St. Louis.
That's right. And so then we set out to go and explore. And so St. Martin, it flies to, it's under two separate flags. Part of the island is Dutch and part of the island is French. And so we wanted to be able to make sure we got to see both sides of the island. And so, you know, certainly drove around and got to see both sides. One of the other major things that we wanted to do while we were there is, it's kind of famous for having, a beach that's right at the tail end of a runway.
I was gonna ask you about that. I always see the pictures. Like, I definitely would want to go there.
Yeah. Airport Beach was really cool. There's like a little, mall area that's just adjacent to it, but, you know, my whole goal was to get there to take some pictures of a plane landing and had no idea when to expect one, and had kind of promised the kids that that would be the time that they'd be able to go to the beach and you know, dip their feet in the water and do all of that kind of fun stuff. And as luck would have it, as soon as we showed up, a plane was coming in. I got my pictures and it's like, okay, time to go. Let's go see some other stuff.
It's like National Lampoon's Vacation. Yep, there it is. Let's go.
Exactly. All things being equal, the beach is kind of crummy and, you know, a little run over and dirty, and great place to see the planes come and go, but I wouldn't really have wanted the kids to get in the water there anyway, so that worked out well. And so then we drove around some more, got to see, you know, we went up into some of the hills and saw some of the really pricey homes and said, wouldn't it be nice if we could live here? But also wound up driving through some of the little towns and villages and got to see the other side, how the other part lived. And that was a little bit of a wake-up call for the kids, at least. They thought that it was all going to be resorts and luxury. And then we did our best to make our way to one of the other, you know, kind of more traditional beaches, but had a real hard time finding parking there and had to abort the idea of going to the beach. And then it got a little rainy, so it was a good excuse to head back into the ship. So went and dropped off the car and looked around a little bit at some of the shops and stuff at port, and then wound up back on the ship. And the prior 2 days, there had been really, really strong winds at sea, like 50-mile-an-hour winds. And so they had to shut down the aqueduct for those couple of days. And so heading back to the ship that day actually worked out really well, because that was the first day that they had the aqueduct open for us. And so then that meant that everybody got to go and have fun with that instead.
Nice. Well, and it sounds like you had a kind of a full day there. I mean, you got to see it. Of course, it sounds like the weather wasn't perfect and it wasn't exactly everything you had, even though you're kind of winging it, you know, that you probably had in your mind's eye when you landed there. But let me ask you this. So you said it was kind of windy. How were the seas on this cruise? If it was, you know, winds that strong, was there any problem with the motion of the ship?
You know, you definitely heard it creaking. And there were times where walking down the corridors inside, you felt like you were a little bit like a pinball bouncing off the walls. But for sleeping and stuff, no problems, and like meals and everything, no problems. Thankfully, most of the family was immune to any kind of motion sickness. Our oldest had a little bit of a bout with some motion sickness, but a little bit of Dramamine helped him out real quick, and he was fine. But no, I mean, all things, you know, at the end of the day, it was pretty, even though we knew it was really windy and there was some rough stuff going on below, we didn't feel it too much, which I, you know, thankfully we were on a really big ship that was able to absorb a lot of that motion.
Absolutely. Fantasy and all the Disney ships do really well with that because they're larger ships, but especially the Dream and Fantasy, they do great with that. And I'll say that, You know, I've been on these Bahamian cruises many times now, and the one thing that I find disappointing about the Bahamian cruises is that you cover such a small geographic footprint that the ship's never going that fast, and it's kind of still, you're not as far out to sea as like you are in a Caribbean cruise, so you're less likely to get any motion. And I like motion of the ship when I'm going to bed at night, like it rocks me to sleep. And on the Bahamian cruises, you just don't get that. I mean, a lot of times it's flat as glass, and you know, which is fine. I know a lot of people get worried about, you know, oh, I'm going to get seasick and stuff. But when you're going on the Bahamian cruise, so for those that are sailing on the podcast cruise, you probably won't feel the ship move at all, except maybe the first night and the last night when they're, you know, heading out and heading back. But and you cross over that Gulf Stream. But it's, you know, I like feeling, as crazy as that is, because I'm not one that'll fly. But, you know, I don't mind feeling the ship move a little bit, because, you know, I want to know that I'm out there, you know, because those things, for folks that have never sailed, when you're on a cruise ship, you know, one of these newer, well, any cruise ship nowadays, it's like a floating city. And I mean, without the motion of the ship, you could swear you're like in a town or something. They're so big and they're so opulent. It's really crazy. And the Fantasy obviously is the nicest ship in the Disney Cruise Line fleet. So I'm sure that, you know, you were very impressed with everything the ship had to offer.
Oh yeah. I mean, and we certainly made sure and got to enjoy everything from the movies to the shows, to the lounges, to the restaurants, to everything else in between. And everything was top notch and you know, best that we could expect, and I, you know, that was a big factor in why we wanted to go out on the Fantasy too, is that everything that we had read and heard about was that it was such a nice ship and that it really was the best of class out there, that getting on there was it lived up to the hype.
Nice. All right, well, let's finish up the excursion. So you went to St. Martin first. Sure. Where else did you guys head?
We also stopped in Puerto Rico at Old San Juan, and again, you know, planned ahead to not do an excursion per se, but planned to hit up the couple of forts that they've got that are within walking distance, and the kids loved those. You know, they're UNESCO World Heritage Sites, so the family's big into, you know, learning and history and all of that. So being able to go out and look at these, you know, centuries old forts and learn a little bit about why they were there and how they were used and the people that lived there and all of that was really, really cool. And it took a long time to go into all of that. And what was great about it was super duper cheap too. I think we paid $20 for the family to go and to see both forts for the day. That you could pay for admission at one and that gets you admission at the other. And it's a good 20 to 40 minute walk between the two forts. And the walk from the port to the closer fort is about 15 or 20 minutes. And, you know, lots of walking. And by the end of the day, the kids were crabby, complaining that their feet were hurting. And it was the warmest day that we had while we were out. So it was, you know, upper 80s and a little humid, not too bad, but really sunny. And you know, we probably marched them around for a good 6-7 miles over the course of the day.
That's good for them.
Yeah. because after we were done checking out the forts, then we went into like the downtown area, looked at some shops, and then found ourselves at Rice's Restaurant, which for those that watched it, it was featured on Man vs. Food back in the day. They've got this like immensely huge pork chop that has like the skin still on it, so you can get a little bit of the chicharron, and it's a deep fried pork chop. And as much as I'm selling that, I didn't even have it. Everybody was really interested in having mofongo, which is kind of a smashed plantain dish with some rice and some other toppings. And so the mofongo that I had that pork chop mixed into it. So chopped up pieces of that. Yeah, I mean, good restaurant, fun time, interesting place to be. We got lucky. We showed up and got like the last table and at lunchtime. And then as we were walking out, there were dozens of people trying to get in. So we magically timed that perfectly so that we could get in, and then wrapped up our time in Puerto Rico walking through. They had a open air market around a plaza where we were able to find some souvenirs and some handmade crafts and things like that it was fun looking at, and then, you know, finding stuff that everybody was interested in. Like one of the kids wound up getting a piggy bank made out of coconut, and then we got some paintings of some of the lighthouses and turrets from the forts and stuff like that. And so, great way to end the tour of Old San Juan, and then headed back to the ship again.
And those things are cool souvenirs to bring home because, you know, one, you're supporting the local artisans and the local economy because that is how they, you know, a lot of those folks do make a living. But also, you know, that's something that you're not going to find at your Target or your Walmart. You know, that's something that definitely when you look at it, it'll immediately take those kids and the entire family back to this wonderful time that you guys got to spend together. You know, right now I'm looking in the studio here of a painting we had done in Cozumel of the Disney Wonder. The guy painted it with spray paint cans, lit it on fire, and, you know, and like did some kind of relief thing where he peeled off and it's, you know, it's a definite painting with Mickey Mouse and the ship. And, you know, I saw him paint this thing in 5 minutes, and, you know, it's something that it's unique. It's one of a kind. Of course he made a bunch of them, but I mean, I watched him make mine, and, you know, that kind of stuff I think is, you know, a lot of times people joke about going into the straw markets and those kind of things because, you know, sometimes the vendors can get a little aggressive. But I think when you come home with something like that, that's something that's special that, you know, that it's better than, you know, kind of a T-shirt or something like that.
Yeah, and that was definitely our approach. We had to talk the kids out of going to the T-shirt shops where they had, you know, buy 3 T-shirts for $10 and tell them that, you know, sure, we could buy those, but they'll fall apart the first time that we put them through the wash and they're not special at that point where being able to buy something like that little piggy bank, it becomes more important and more special for them over the long haul. And so, yeah, it worked out well that way.
All right. Sounds great. So I'm sure Castaway Key was on this itinerary as well, right?
That's right. So after Puerto Rico, we had another day at sea to be able to get back by Castaway Key. And then we spent the day there. You know, for my taste, it's a little crazy there. you know, with everybody just running to the beach and staking out their spot. And if I'm going to go to the beach, I like to just sit back and relax and maybe read a book or enjoy some sun. And with the kids, the ages that they are, while they'd been very involved in the kids clubs on board the ship, they really wanted to hang out with mom and dad for the time at Castaway Key. And so that meant that, you know, no adult side of the island, and you know, at the same time, while our oldest son is a very good swimmer, he had no interest in going out to the Pelican thing and doing the water slide, and the other two just aren't strong enough swimmers to have been able to get out there, and so it was some sand play for them. We wound up renting some bikes and doing the little tour of the island that way, going up to the observatory, you know, the observation tower and getting some pictures from up there. And, you know, just kind of hanging out and doing stuff. But ultimately, the week that we were on the ship, they were premiering, Big Hero 6 on the ship.
Ah, nice.
And so the night before Castaway Key, they had the big premiere in the big theater and everything. But then on our Castaway Key day, which also was Thanksgiving Day, can't forget that. they were also showing it again at the Walt Disney Theater. And so everybody was very interested in going back and watching the movie again. So we called it a little bit early on Castaway Key and headed back to the ship to be able to enjoy that and just kind of wind down a little bit for, you know what? No, I misspoke. That was not Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day was our day at sea before Castaway Key. But yeah, we were more than happy to turn it in a little bit early and leave some of the chaos of the key behind and, you know, kind of go at our own pace again back on ship.
Now, let me ask you this. So this is one other thing I want to ask you. So you're there on Thanksgiving Day. Is there a special meal? Is there anything? Because, I mean, you know, it's not like you do, you know, Thanksgiving doesn't have much more to it than, a meal if you're not at your home. You know, usually you have family over. So how did they handle that on the ship?
You know, thankfully it was the day at sea. So it was really a very relaxed day, during the day and all evening long in the, La Piazza, bar lounge adult area. They had all the TVs were tuned into football throughout the day.
Sweet.
They had, you know, bar food. So like hot dogs and, hot wings and that kind of stuff available on a open buffet for anybody to stop in and enjoy that. They were playing the games up on the Funnel Vision and in the Oak Hills bar as well. So that was fun to be able to hang out and watch football with some folks that we wouldn't otherwise normally. And then for dinner, all the restaurants had the same menu, which, you know, kind of expect that for a holiday like that. And they definitely had a traditional Thanksgiving dinner. They had turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and some veggies on the side. And you know, only about half of my family ordered that. They also had some fish and standing rib roast and some other really good and tasty options that the rest of the family enjoyed as well. That all things being equal, you know, we had our family there, and you know, there's a reason why we like to travel on Thanksgiving, and it's because we like to spend the time with just the five of us for Thanksgiving. And so being at a, you know, on a Disney ship and enjoying a well-cooked meal that we didn't have to cook was really nice, because then didn't have to cook it, didn't have to clean up after it, got to just relax and enjoy all the best things about Thanksgiving, which is eating and football.
Man, that sounds just about perfect to me. You know, football, bar food, Thanksgiving meal, you're on a cruise, on the fun. I mean, right now, my birthday is over Thanksgiving many times. So, man, I'm telling you, this is in my future. Because I, you wouldn't be able to wipe the smile off my face. I can't wipe it off my face just thinking about it right now. That's like you're in heaven.
Yeah, I we're definitely going to take this exact same itinerary again, probably not this fall, but maybe the next one. Come on out with us.
Hey, man, that's we might have to do that. I might just have to tell my school district I'm just celebrating. It's a long birthday week. I have to,
that's right,
you know, make sure that I enjoy my birthday. So we're running a little short, so I'm going to ask you some questions here. So favorite restaurant overall of all the restaurants on the Fantasy, which one did you enjoy the most?
I think our family as a whole really enjoyed the Royal Court the best. I don't know if it's that it was the best food or if it was the first restaurant that we had in our rotation, so it was our first exposure. But you know, we really liked what they had as far as menu, and you know, the decor was really right up our alley. And you know, I mean, Royal Court really, really knocked it out of the park for us. But that's not to say that the other restaurants weren't just as good. We did have a table. So with five of us, we did have a table with another family of three. And that was interesting just because there was a little bit of a language barrier. They were Asian, and I'm not sure which language they were speaking, but they were certainly, English was not their first language. They had a little boy, Andrew, who really, really got along well with my younger son, Tim. And so he and Tim would always like compare war stories from the day, they were entertaining to watch. But the, you know, like the first night they were all there at Royal Court, and then the next night we were at Animator's Palette for the Crush night, and they didn't show up, and it was like, oh, are they avoiding us? Do they not like us? What did we do wrong?
It's table mate anxiety. I know what you're saying.
But at the same time, if they decided that they weren't coming back, I would have taken that too, because then having a table to ourselves was just fine too.
It's kind of it's stressful though when you have kids, because you know, like the kids get attached to the other kids a lot of times, and if they don't show up, Mallory one time, you know, the other family just happened to do something else that, you know, went to Cabanas one night, and you know, we had to explain to her, you know, this, they're not going to eat with us every single night, but she was crushed. It's hard with kids.
And my son Tim can have a hard time getting along with other kids. He's a very strong-willed young man. He's had some struggles in his life. He had a heart transplant a few years ago, and so he kind of is very independent and doesn't take he doesn't take to fools very well, and he knows when people are talking down to him and everything, and he's very wary of other kids though too, because he doesn't know if they want to be his friend because they like him or because they feel bad for him or whatever it might be. And so, you know, this other little boy is trying so hard to be Tim's friend, and Tim was like, at first, oh yeah, I don't know if I want to be your friend, But by the end, they were, like I said, they were trading war stories and really enjoying each other. And they'd run into each other at the kids club and would play and stuff. And that was pretty nice for him.
And that's so common on a cruise. I love hearing that when that happens. You know, friendships are made on cruise ships. It's amazing how that happens.
Yeah. But back to the question about the restaurants. So Animator's Palette, that was fun. Again, the Thanksgiving dinner that we had there was great. All things being equal, the menu one night was better than we wound up eating at Animator's Palette three times on the week, and one of the meals was exceptional, and one of them was eh, and then Thanksgiving was good again. Enchanted Garden, you know, again, that one's a bit of a blur for me. But you know, I do know that we had our last meal there and it was entertaining and enjoyable. And you know, as you hear from so many people, our waiter and assistant server were phenomenal. If anybody gets Lex and, what's her name? Nicola, you're in for a treat. They're great. And, you know, definitely made a bond with them and really enjoyed having them there all the time. And Lex in particular, we would see him everywhere. It seemed like no matter where we went, he was doing some kind of food service, whether that was in cabanas or on Castaway Key or wherever we wound up being. But really enjoyed them. And then my wife and I also went to Paolo one day for brunch. And you know, again, you hear it so many times, but it was just so phenomenal. The food was great. The service was great. And it was... You know, we did that on our first full day at sea, and it was a great way to kind of jump into the whole cruise experience.
Awesome. I can't wait, man. Paolo brunch, that's one of my favorite things. It's a long, long meal. I mean, especially for somebody that has kids, when most meals have to be 15 minutes or less before, you know, the meltdown sets in. But, oh, man, I wish I could do that every day. I'd be 1,000 pounds, but I wish I could. So the last thing I'm going to ask you, so I asked you about your favorite restaurant. What about as far as entertainment on the ship? And this could be anything from the big production shows in the Walt Disney Theater to maybe some of the smaller things. Like I know that we always do the Mickey 200 where you make a race car out of a vegetable. And, you know, they give you wheels and like a carrot and a potato and they race them like Pinewood Derby cars. So like looking back on this cruise now, it's, you know, been 6 months ago. What were maybe a couple memories from the entertainment part of the ship?
So from the big stage show side of things, you know, family-wise, the entire family loved Aladdin. And, you know, what was fun about that was that we kept seeing the actors around the ship. Like when we'd be doing we'd go for walks and runs around the deck, and we'd always see some of them hanging out on the deck as we were running around the jogging course. And the kids loved the genie and thought he was hysterical and so much fun. And a couple of weeks before we had gone on the cruise, we had seen a children's production of the Aladdin stage show as well, where it was all kids between the ages of like 9 and 16. And so walking into the theater, the kids are like, "Oh, we're going to see this again." I'm like, "Trust me, it's going to be a little bit better this time." And they were blown away and just, you know, couldn't wipe the smiles off their face. And, you know, when the genie came back for his appearance in what's the show at the very end?
The Golden Mickeys?
No.
Believe?
Yes, that's it. Thank you. The kids were like, "Genie's back. Yeah." And then as a dad who, you know, got three kids, two boys and a girl, and the girl is the youngest, that Believe show, you know, I think I've heard you talk about it before.
It's brutal. It's heart-wrenching.
Gets a little dusty in the theater
yes,
at the end.
Oh, I'm not looking forward to that again in July. I hate it. Because especially on a podcast cruise, I'm like, don't, man. Don't let everybody see you crying. Don't cry.
So family, and then again, having Big Hero 6 on the you know, first on the big screen in the main theater, and then again on the smaller screen in the Walt Disney Theater, that was another highlight. But then for my wife and I, we tried to make sure and find time to head down to the, you know, I went and did a trivia contest at O'Gill's, and what was fun about that is, you know, it was like the super trivia, like the extra nerdy trivia, whatever you want to call it. And there's tables of groups of people that were, you know, clearly had been traveling together, where it was all older family members. And there I was sitting by myself, and I won.
What's up?
And I was like, okay, yeah, that's kind of cool. And then spending nights at the Tube to enjoy the adult entertainment that they had back there was a lot of fun as well. And then my wife and I also enjoyed the a tequila tasting and margarita making seminar. And that was, we did that on our last night. And what a way to close things out, because it was perfect.
Yes. You're glad somebody else is driving the ship for you.
Exactly. And then, I think that covers all the various entertainment. The other thing, my little girl, as we were getting on the ship, they were doing a thing where you had to go and get tickets to be able to meet, do the whole princess processional, to meet like Cinderella and Tiana and whatnot. But they also had Anna and Elsa on the ship. And I was like, okay, we got to get that. And so that was the very first thing that she did on the first morning that we were out at sea. And she had brought her Elsa dress with her. And I had no idea that they were doing an Anna and Elsa meet and greet, but hey, it worked. And they were absolutely awesome. They really got engaged with her, and, you know, she was 3 and a half at the time. So who knows what she was talking to them about, but they were laughing at her jokes and she was laughing at theirs and just loving every minute of it. And certainly much easier than trying to get the fast pass for meeting them at Magic Kingdom or something. And that was a big highlight as well.
Nice. Well, it sounds like, you know, you had a really full cruise, but also a relaxing time with the family and got to really enjoy, you know, to me, what Thanksgiving's all about. It's about family. It's about time together, you know, getting away from work, and, you know, what better way to do it? So it sounds like you made the most of it, and sounds like you said you wanted to do it again. So I guess this was a very successful Thanksgiving for your family.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to sit down and share this with us. And when you get back from that next cruise, we'll have to do this again. And I know that you also headed out to Hong Kong, so we're going to talk about that on an upcoming show too. So Jeff, I appreciate your time, and thanks so much for supporting the show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Disneyland or Walt Disney World vacation. Like I said, my favorite feature is the optimizer, because there's just some, you know, things I'm not interested in. Stitch's Great Escape, not so much. The Astro Orbiter, I leave that one off too, because I'm 6'3", and it just, like, you know, you got to put me in there with a shoehorn. So I leave those out, and I put my favorite attraction, Space Mountain, Big Thunder, Splash, and all that, and the optimizer comes back and tells me, hey Mike, this is the way to see these attractions right now with the least amount of weight. And it can do that for you as well. Just grab that premium subscription, drop by touringplans.com today. The next Be Our Guest podcast live show comes your way this coming Sunday, May 17th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. We hope you'll put it on your Google calendar or your old paper and pencil, and join us again this Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, for the next Be Our Guest podcast live show. Of course, that is over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Magical Mouse Radio plays the best mix of Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Check it out right now. Remember, today, this morning, on Mondays, we're in the Magic Kingdom all morning, and then on Tuesdays, we play 21 straight hours of nothing but Walt Disney World background loop. So turn it on at work, leave it on in the background. You'll think you're at Walt Disney World, except for your boss being over your shoulder telling you to get back to work. But hey, at least it sounds like Walt Disney World. So check it out today, MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And again, if you wouldn't mind, drop by iTunes today and leave us a rating and a review. We always appreciate those, and we thank everyone who has done that in the last couple weeks so much. It's helping us stay up there in the iTunes ratings, and that helps more people find our show. And for that, I am truly appreciative. So thank you again for those ratings and reviews. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get back to work. Thank you so much for stopping in and downloading today's show. It's just awesome to see you out there and hear from you. So give me a shout on Twitter or on Facebook and let me know that you tuned in. I love hearing that you're enjoying the shows. So for Jeff, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Time to get back to work. Have a good time and make this week magical. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.